This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 7th, 2018, the 19th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
But from the beginning of creation, the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In those readings today, go all kind of places about marriage. And I was thinking about doing so because there is such confusion and ought not be in the context of discussion of marriage. Why I'm not going there today is because we have to get foundational about things. When we look at the confusing pronouncements from within our own church, we're not talking about pagans who don't believe in marriage as we do. We're talking about authorities in our church questioning the traditional teachings of marriage. We have all kind of convoluted, sinful ideas concerning marriage. I get kind of chuckle. You read that gospel today, and if you can chuckle about the gospel without being base about it, it's kind of interesting for me that if a priest or a catechist would be in front of a group of people talking about marriage, well, you know, bottom line, you know, what's the deal on divorced people? And he said, whoever divorces a wife commits adultery. And if she divorces her husband, she commits adultery. And you go, how uncharitable are you? I'm calling the bishop. Those are Jesus Christ's words. Jesus Christ's words. So is there a debate? Should there be confusion? No. Where I want to go today is, how does that happen? How do things get confused? They get confused when you are not anchored in the truth. And it, well, where is truth? Sort of Pontius Pilate. What is truth? It's very easy. Look, and you'll find it. When we see the first reading today, the story of creation. In the story of creation, God grounds his truth. The book of Genesis. Yeah, most people like Genesis, some kind of fanciful kid's story that kind of gets people engaged in church. And now let's move on to something real. And no, creation is real. Creation is where we learn about God. I mean foundationally. And we learn about how he works. How he has put things together. How he wants things to be. How he demands that things are. And the way he demands it is they be orderly. Things must be orderly. Like that. Let's kind of keep it in-house. As much debate goes on about a lot of things, most Catholics would agree that there's a God. Most. I don't know in this day and age. Okay. But most would say that there's a God. Genesis. How does it start out? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We've got a creator. We are the creatures. If you create something, you are the one who dictates how it goes. All right, so let's get that straight. God's the creator, we're the creatures, he created us, we do what he says. End of story, bottom line. Okay, that's easy. And then we see the story of creation. This is where we start understanding God as a God of order. It doesn't say, he created light, he created plants, and he created animals, ain't he great? That's not what we see. It's not presented like that. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And he separated the darkness from the light. The first day is very good. He makes the firmament of heaven. And he separates. That word separation occurs several times. in the creation story. He separates things. There is an order to things. When he starts to talk about vegetation and animals, it doesn't, and he created plants, aren't they nice? And he created animals. Everybody loves them. He says, and he made plants. This one after its kind, this one after its kind. Same with the animals. This kind, this kind, this kind. They're not a mix. They're just not this general animal discussion. Everything is orderly. He created male and female. Men and women are exactly equal, absolutely equal in their nature, in their dignity. But if they were equal, this is how creation would have been. And he took two piles of dust and he breathed into them his spirit, and they became living beings, man and woman. That's not how it's presented. He creates man, and it is not good for man to have no helper that is not of his nature. I will make him that helper that is of his nature, that is exactly like him in a creative sense, that has the same dignity, that bears the same image of God. No difference whatsoever, but a difference in role. She's to help him. She's to help him. This is where we see the orderliness, and this is where it begins foundationally to fly in the face of the way society and, unfortunately, in the church, things have become tremendously convoluted and confused when you start blurring these distinctions of roles. God is very specific in the way he wants things. He's, to coin a term that I hear quite frequently, rigid. He's rigid. He's not rigid. He's orderly. Because with order comes clarity. With disorder comes confusion. After the fall in the garden, confusion reigns in this world. Groups of people, individuals, come up with their own religion. They come up with this. They come up with that. Confusion. They don't do what God has revealed in his holy word. Confusion. That is the why we are in the dire straits, not just for marriage, all the other shipwrecks that are in the church right now. Plural. Why? Because there's confusion. And you know what? There has never been confusion before. Confusion and disorder is the rule of the day since the 1960s. Well, you know, the church used to say that, but, confusion. Confusion, pandemonium, anarchy. Because we don't pay attention to who God is and what he wants from us. In the first prayer today, in the collect for the day, we ask that our Lord, we're asking this specifically. You said amen at the end of it. I hope you're paying attention. We said that we asked him that the Holy Ghost may direct and rule our hearts. Notice those words, direct and rule. The vast majority of Catholics do not want the Holy Spirit to direct and rule their hearts. They want him to suggest and advise. Here, I'll give you some suggestions. I advise you do this, but you go ahead. Do whatever. God doesn't suggest and advise. We heard the Decalogue today. He's got a very rigid list that he... Do this, don't do that. Oh, no, how can you say that? Because that doesn't apply to this group. It applies to everyone. Everyone. Even people who completely ignore it. It applies to them because God's their creator. And they will be answerable someday. We are going to be even more answerable because we should know better as Catholics. Confusion is what Satan does. It is what the devil does. Satan is a super being. He's just shy of God. That's why he felt compelled and able to rebel against God. He was that close in creation. He might be a super being, but guess what? He doesn't have to be original, because what he uses works generally all the time. He's got like four or five things that he works, and they work with everybody if he pushes the temptations far enough. The first temptation, and this is Eve's in the garden, I mean the literal first temptation, how does he start? Has God really said, you know, and little footnote, who does he tempt? He doesn't tempt Adam. He tempts Adam's helper. All right? He knew what he was doing. He tempts the helper because, here, helper, you make a decision. You make a decision by yourself. You're the same nature. You make this decision by yourself. You don't need Adam to dictate. You want to eat it, you eat it. Because his question, has God really said? He's not asking, did God use these words? Are these the instructions? He says, did God really mean? He might have said it, but did he really mean this? Do you mean that you would die if you do this? Nah, he's merciful and loving. No, he couldn't mean that. I'll eat it. The rest is history. This is where in the problem lies. Satan sows confusion amongst us. He has sown confusion in created order. That's why pagans are pagans. That's why it is dark and sinful and hellbound out there. We're supposed to be different. We are the Catholic Church. We are the church that Jesus Christ, the only church that Jesus Christ instituted himself. The only one. And the same God who is the creator, who is orderly in creation, do you not think that he is orderly and structured in the way he wants his church to function and work? Because he knows it will work if it is orderly and there is clarity and no confusion. When we look at creation, this whole story about Eve being created, from the analogy of Scripture, you can glean a lot of things, both about Catholic marriage and the church. After Eve is created, Adam is ecstatic. Finally, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, someone who's just like me to help me. And then the Holy Spirit goes on to say, this is why a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Look at the analogies that are going on there between the Catholic family, and which is the microcosm of the church, and the Catholic Church. With St. Paul, and there is no more succinct presentation of an ordered Catholic family than in Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, before I'm even going to talk about the family, says the Holy Spirit through St. Paul, before I even talk about this is how it's got to be structured, the husband is the head of the wife, as Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And as he sums it all up, after he goes through the structure, he says, this is a great mystery, how it relates to Jesus Christ. But if you look, it is really kind of interesting and very cool to see this analogy of the marriage relationship and the church in the story of the creation of Eve. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God. He has always lived for all eternity with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one. Jesus Christ left his Father to be incarnate. Why did he leave his Father? To seek his bride, the Holy Catholic Church. He left his father and mother to seek his bride. You get this picture in our mind of Adam being put to this deep sleep by God. Yeah, you got to be in pretty deep sleep if somebody's going to remove one of your ribs. Okay, this sleep is deep. Our Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, to use a euphemism, slept in death for 3 days. When Adam was asleep, our Lord opened his side and removed his bride. Our Lord Jesus Christ was asleep on the cross, and the Roman soldier came over and pierced his side, and out came blood and water, the sacraments of initiation into the church. That is the establishment of the church. Order. These are how things are ordered in the Catholic family and in the Catholic Church. There are roles to be maintained. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ did not say, hey, everybody who wants to listen to what I got to say, hang out. Now, there were hundreds of disciples, but he called 12 to be his apostles, capital A. And among those 12 apostles, there were three that usually got to see all kind of the best stuff. And of those three, there was one who had primacy, Peter. That's why we have the Catholic Church as it stands. There are a lot of bishops, but they're one who has primacy, the one who sits in the See of Peter. That is the papacy. That is the structure that God desires. And in this structure, you know, we pray in the Creed that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The apostles were all on the same sheet of music. Nobody's on the same sheet of music anymore. Because why? Satan's using that same old trick. Has God, did he really mean? I mean, there is no more place manifest in the Catholic Church where order and structure are manifest than in a liturgy. For millennia, the Catholic Church had a structured, definitive liturgy. One language, one way of doing it. You could go here, you could go to church in China, Germany, Japan, Africa, wherever. Same language, same readings, same prayers everywhere. That's order and structure. After the 1960s, this is what happens when you get away from what the Holy Spirit has done to the church and you get together a committee and you cobble something together. Confusion. Disorder. I mean, disorder is it's a manifest portion of the, this is kind of interesting. Probably the most disorderly part of the Mass in the vast majority of Catholic parishes is the so-called sign of peace. That has never, you know, they've always done a sign of peace. Not like that. It is disorder. Pew jumping, to shake hands, to talk to people. I mean, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. After communion, they still walk up the aisle and they'll talk to other people after receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. They stop. They talk to people. They have just had the Lord of glory in their hands, and you know there's particles of our Lord, and they're slapping backs and shaking hands. It is a manifest disorder. And you know what's sad about it? Is it's looked upon as like one of the litmus tests of being Catholic anymore. People come visit here or in any traditional parish, and they say, oh, that's not Catholic. They don't jump around and hug each other and slap hands and stuff. The most disorderly part of worship is looked upon as a litmus test of being Catholic. Satan wins. He always wants to foment disorder and confusion. The way the Mass is presented. You got priests making up their own words. He took bread and gave it to his friends. No, he didn't. He gave it to his disciples. Pray, brethren, that this our sacrifice. It's not our sacrifice. A priest is different than yours. Pray, brethren, that this my sacrifice and yours. Seminarians are actually taught today. No. If you say those words, you make sure that they sound like they're together. But most of them will just change the words. Pray, brethren, that this our sacrifice, it's not ours. You cannot confect the sacrifice of a priest. I can be in here and by myself. Add bread and wine, turn to the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. I don't need anyone else here. You can't sacrifice like that. You can say the words, you can dress up, you can probably do it better than I can. But guess what? It's bread and wine. Confusion. This is what Satan is doing in the church. And this is the answer to the wise about all the problems going on right now. Has God really said, did he really mean that this is a heinous, abominable lifestyle? Now, let's put a demonic symbol up, a rainbow flag on our altar to show our inclusiveness. Kind of interesting that God excludes them from heaven. You got parishes that make them think that they're included in the church. Lies. Lies and confusion. There are do's and don'ts in the church. Do's and don'ts. Because God is a God of order. We must remain anchored in this truth. There's a priest, he's a philosopher, and I'll close with his statement because he says it a lot better than I can. I'm not a philosopher. All right. Father John Perricone. If those of you who listen to Keep the Faith Radio, he comments a whole lot on there. Very staunch, conservative, orthodox guy. Says one sentence. He says, only God's hand, seen through the fixed designs of creation, can keep man anchored in the truth. God has presented an objective truth. To be anchored in that truth, we don't have to do any kind of theological studies in a seminary. All you got to do is read the story of creation. Because for the most simple of persons, you look at the story of creation and the structure that God creates, how he creates, what he desires of it, you're anchored in the truth. Yeah, you can expound on it because it's the foundation. But we have to have a foundation because there is truth and he expects us to abide by it. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.